Welcome to Between the Lines, listening to literature online. This is show number 140, testing Tantra and trauma. I was just reading a little bit about Samuel Beckett's writing process, and mentioned that he would kind of go into a trance a lot of times. And part of what I love about writing is the creative discovery process that happens. So I'm working on a new book called Musings with the Golden Sparrow, and certain elements that have come forth have to do with what's called Tantra. And then it started to riff and develop into a kind of theory about trauma and how to heal trauma. So I'm going to read some short sections from the book In Progress, a little bit to whet readers' appetite for the future, and also to sort of test drive the theory. And if you have any feedback or comments, feel free. As you'll hear, the book kind of rambles along in a free-flowing stream of consciousness style, hence the title Musings with the Golden Sparrow. It's a story, and not really a novel, more like musings. This is your host, Monk. Thank you for listening. I'm writing a book, and it's called Musings with the Golden Sparrow. And one of the cruxes of it has a theme, and it's sort of like a theory. And it has to do with Tantra and healing, and so I wanted to share one or two sections, see how long they take. And just to see how it sounds, it's helpful. For me as a poet to read stuff out loud to myself, but this time I figured it'd be good to read some of this, which has a poetic flavor to it. It's not a novel, but it's a story. It's hence Musings with the Golden Sparrow. So, and before getting to the actual sections on the Tantra and trauma, I'm going to read the first couple of pages to give the feel of the book. And here it goes. The sparrow is, perhaps, the humblest bird. Not that all birds aren't humble. Darting and gliding under Father Sky. Feeding and nesting with Mother Earth. Listening to Brother Wind. Drinking sister's waters. The rays from the light beings at dawn communing a chorus of song. Their kind gathering in all manner of unassuming places. Everywhere this traveler has ever traveled, he has seen sparrows. Small towns dotting the landscape known as Turtle Island to the original inhabitants, or the U.S. Empire to those who fail to remember, fail to acknowledge the uncommodified roots of their sudden successes. City streets and parks, quiet suburban yards and bustling mall parking lots. A multitude of varieties blending in with the locale like common folk, everyday work people, the mechanic repairing your vehicle, the server pouring your coffee. Everywhere, sparrows filling the empty spaces, the empty moments, giving people a choice to cast off loneliness. Golden, like the sun, the light beings ever streaming. Sometimes you see the rays through clouds or laying their morning honey across your kitchen counter. Everywhere, light energy, even in the dark. Gold, the stuff of legends, alchemical, pinnacle, noble, immortal. The golden sparrow, the humbly noble of Taoists. This could be a fitting place to end on a high-low note, but there's a world out there, and worlds inside, and such a state is forged through many hammerings by the blacksmith, the hot, the cold, the moist, the dry, the pain, and the feeling, the pain, yet without suffering, welcoming the rain. Gold rushes. Minas Gerais, Brazil, 18th century. Colorado, California, U.S. Empire, Africa, 19th century, to name a few. The raping of Mother Earth, the fat taker, manic greed, but not the flip side of the other gold, because the flip switch is within. The musings tend to ride this traveler like a horse. So now, while there's a chance, even muses have to muse, right? Some catching up to do. It was intended to start writing this book on the typewriter, but as a friend by chance texted just after the argument, "Did you hear about the psychic convention that had to be canceled?" It turns out there were unforeseen circumstances. To spare both parties any embarrassment, subtleties of the argument will be presented in an objective and hopefully educational fashion. Because what they call passion actually is not some emotional energy, but just the friction between their souls and the outside world. That quote is from a film by the esteemed Russian director Andrei Tarkovsky. The film is Stalker, but has nothing to do with stalking women. Rather, the stalker is a kind of guide. It's one of the best films ever made, in my humble opinion, but not everyone's cup of tea. It is in real time with very long takes. At times it transcends being a movie and becomes a living experience. It is like looking out a window and watching a movie or watching a screen and having that screen become a window. Much of living has to do with friction or how we rub with people. So, there was some unpleasant friction which put the typewriter writing on hold, so instead the beginning of this book is being penned. But despite that word, the musings are cage-free. Whatever the mode, orally, rock carving, papyrus, ink pen and paper, typewriter, computer, recorder, the musings will find a way through. Because the musings are of the spiritual realm and not limited to a physical form. Yet they do love the physical form that helps give them expression, shape, helps them to find a home, enables them to experience the vicarious thrill of spilled coffee, bits of eraser feverishly left on the desk slapped with glee like a high five after the messages have been delivered. The desk is also thanked for being oak, still oaking, giving this traveler a place to write, a place to call home, though much of this book penned while out and about. Here it is noted that after the book was begun being written by hand, the typewriter transcended the argument and became available. This writer realized that typing the whole thing would be a monumental task and so opted for sections. Thus it appears from page 1 that the typewriter was available from the get-go because of the first page. But now you know that bit of the story. Friction, the rubbings between worlds. As Shakespeare wrote, aye, there's the rub. Something goes a different way than expected or wanted, yet we must go on, or as the golf saying goes, play it as it lays. You can't argue with a reality that's already happened, so play it forward and learn from the past. Something may rub us the wrong, in quotes, way, in other words, it don't feel good, or one's intuition gives warning, or it's just different wavelengths. Nobody's fault, no blame, follow your bliss, but stay in your lane. Now, when someone rubs you the right way, ooh la la, it feels good or way good, which sometimes gets us in trouble, yet overall it's the way to go. This art of rubbing is also called tantra, a Sanskrit word whose root speaks of a loom. Thus, we are all woven together of one fabric, all made of earth, water, wind, and fire energies, and of each other. And being woven together, any one has the ability to feel or sense or be like any one else. The experience of being like someone else could last for a moment with a gesture, or perhaps you have lost yourself and become someone else. Anything from soul retrieval to simply recognizing where the tantra is coming from could help with re-centering, with learning to be one's self again. Tantra is what makes some actors great. They are able to become the character, to embody and emotion that persona. We do this too in so-called real life, and we do it all the time. Parents, relatives, teachers, pets, the environment, and so on, all rub off on us as babies, kids, and so on. And so, by the time we are so-called adults, we have become a mixture of many behaviors and thoughts and impressions. What was impressed on us, cultural, religious, governmental, educational brandings. We have become a mixture, perhaps the least of which is our true self, whose spirit or creator or God made us to be, akin to what native peoples call original instructions. Go, he, she, they, spirit, whispered to your spirit before you took on flesh. Go be a writer, a baker, a dancer, a bus driver, one who gathers people, guides people, heals, and also fixes sinks. Sometimes you need to rub off what's been rubbed on you so as to start finding what the spirit beings first rubbed on you. Many people associate tantra with sex because that's the most direct and intimate form, literally mixing energies and physical juices with another. And yes, it's a powerful form of tantra as it can really get under your skin. Yet simply by hanging out with someone a lot, you can start to be like them a little, and typically they start being a little like you. To do this consciously and openly is a gift. Deeper channels of communication open, and you can sense, feel, or posture what's going on with someone. No need for a phone call or text message. And it's also a bit scary because once you're in, it takes a lot of emotional work to get someone out of you if things go awry. So do your best to choose wisely, but don't beat yourself up if you get caught up with someone who was so enticing. Magnetism is always a test, and the lessons and art of Tantra are many and ever uncharted. Quote from Blaise Pascal, the heart has its reasons, which reason knows nothing of. We know the truth not only by the reason, but by the heart. Heart mind, heart think. Some want to rub elbows with famous people, and this traveler can't blame them, yet at about the age of 40, this traveler realized he had best start rubbing elbows with spirit, so he could better figure out how to live here with Mother Earth and with all the other beings roaming around or sitting still, and realize it was time to rub hearts, rub cocks, rub everything with spirit, because as Allen Ginsberg wrote in his footnote to Howl, it's all holy. And holy, H-O-L-Y and W-H-O-L-E-Y. It's all holy and holy, every earwax and spermatozoa and egg and toenail and bald spot opening up to the skies. So maybe you noticed how the musings tricked me. There was nothing in particular to write about, but this writer started writing, and then pages later, he realized that it wasn't just him thinking and writing, that something was rubbing the words too, rubbing the ideas and feelings, literally rubbing my elbow and forearm, hand, fingers, rubbing it into the page, the grind, the coffee tumbling into little bits, then fusing with hot water, the anointing of oils, then pressed so as to drink in a dainty cup as old as a typewriter or echo paper, and plastic as new as yesterday. With Asian brush calligraphy, it's advised to be centered with your heart and let the brushstrokes flow out from that place. While that's more challenging with writing when ideas are popping through like homemade popcorn on a windy winter night, it's a good guide to abide with. Let it flow outward from the heart. And then further on in the book, a bunch of 20 or 30 pages later, the theme gets picked up again. This is more of the theory sense that the book is exploring. Another word for separation is trauma. The word root is from the Greek T-E-R-E, to rub, turn, with associated twisting, piercing, and associated with throw. Also, trauma, sense of psychic wound, unpleasant experience which causes abnormal stress. Remember the tantra thing? How we rub each other for better or worse? Trauma rubs hard. It rubs so hard it still hurts long after the rubbing. There's the psychic wound, the impression left, though the rub itself is gone. So the healing has to be at emotional, mental, spiritual levels to be complete. The reed flute wails. And that's in reference to, mentioned in the book, Rumi has a wonderful poem about the reed flute, and that the song of the flute is from the reed because it was separated from the reed bed. The Chinese pictograph for healing is made of the pictures for herbs and music. The traumatic event leaves a feeling of an experience of separation. Post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, is used to describe what war veterans deal with. Also, many Native peoples deal with PTSD due to inhumane horrors wrought on them by the empire. Sometimes PTSD is generational history carried over into the next generations when a people have been abused for a long time. Also traumatized is Mother Earth from all the forced mining, extractions, rapings. Patriarchal traumatic stress disorder might be a more accurate label. A breakup with someone can be traumatic. Trauma also affects breath. It is as if the friction of the soul and the outer world, as Tarkovsky's film Stalker noted, becomes out of sync, and one must then deal with having been severely rubbed the wrong way, and so begins the healing. This traveler can't profess to say he knows how to heal traumas, but he will share some stuff and offer some suggestions. As the saying goes, the solution is in the problem. Healing has to do with making whole, and what helps is to rub or be rubbed the right way, the nourishing way, the truth that you are beautiful, and the truth which sometimes hurts way, the learning way, communing with nature, spirit way. So that's just a little bit of sections on the theme of tantra. The idea, hopefully trying to get across is that how people are connected, and how we are an individual, and yet we also pick up on other people's energies and mingle with other people, and if we are close with them, we become a bit like them, and there's a oneness or a clan or a tribal, whatever you want, a family connection, and that with anyone or in any experience, be an individual or cultural, political, whatever the events, that normally the tantra is a dance, and that when something is off or awry, or, you know, in the severe case of a separation or a trauma, that then there's that residual hurt, the rub that needs to be you know, in the metaphorical sense and perhaps literal, massaged and rubbed. And, you know, we need to change our energy patterns and recenter and that. So that's sort of the theory that I'm working with, which, again, is seems to make sense to me, but as far as not being sort of tested, I test it with my own experience. So there's a certain rubbing, the rubbing, the friction, and it's really in everything we do. We pick up something, you know, there's a rubbing of our fingers on an object, you know, a recorder, a mouse, a glass, a physical human being touching the snow, a bird, whatever. So that, you know, life is this rubbing, and sort of the measure of that rubbing is, you know, how it feels and what is real. So that's the essence that is being, that I'm going for with the writing. And all right, thanks for listening, and have a good one. And we'll go out with something posted on YouTube, Song Sparrow.